Luke chapter 2, if you're not there, if you would go ahead and find your place. Luke chapter 2, and I would like to begin reading here in verse number 21. Luke chapter 2, verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth a womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him." This morning I'd like to go ahead and speak on this particular subject, on this man, Simeon, the man who had the greatest Christmas. The man who had the greatest Christmas. Let's pray. Father, we ask for your guidance upon this sacred time. Speak to our hearts. May it be that we would be open and receptive to the Spirit of God moving in our midst. Each person has different needs in their life, different things that they think about when it comes to the Bible and Christianity. And I pray that you would take this message here today about this man, Simeon, and touch each of our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This series, which we began a couple weeks ago, I've been preaching on the various biblical characters that are found in this original Christmas story. And as we're brought to this next character known as Simeon, we're actually introduced to a couple of different scenes that are brought to us. First of all, we find in the verses that we, as any Jewish couple would, that had just had a baby. And sometimes when we read about some of the laws of the Old Testament and some of these things that are being still carried out even in these gospel writings, we as New Testament Christians find ourselves a little bewildered by the laws. There are a number of these ceremonial laws that caused Israel to stand out as a nation. And as Israel performed what is known as these ceremonial laws, it allowed the other nations around them to see and to know of their allegiance to the one true God. Now, you and I today are not obligated to these ceremonial laws. Christ has accomplished all of this through the death of His Son. But needless to say, we're at a time prior to Jesus' death. And so therefore, Joseph and Mary are doing right now what any other devoted Jews would do at this time. So what is it that they're doing according to the law? Well, number one, they come on this day to go ahead. They had just had their baby circumcised. Now notice it lists for us here when 8 days were accomplished. We know, according to Genesis chapter 17, verse 12, this is exactly what God had prescribed to Abraham. Abraham being the father of the Jewish nation, and so therefore, as things begin to unfold for the Israelites, every male Jew would be circumcised, and it was to be done on the 8th day. Now, we sometimes read that and think to ourselves, oh, yeah, okay, well, God had this on this day, and we think God just kind of picked a day out of the calendar. Well, is it not amazing here that we've come to realize in this day that the eighth day is the best day to medically perform this procedure? Because it is said that the vitamin K and there's a particular protein that is in the blood plasma that is at its highest peak on this day, and it is done in such a way to avoid blood clotting. Isn't God smart? Isn't it amazing how we come to times like this and we look at all these things and all of a sudden medically or scientifically we realize God knew what he was talking about. My friend, I'm here to tell you something. God's word is inspired and every word of God is profitable for whatever we need in this life. But I want you to notice the second thing as Joseph and Mary now are coming. They're coming to present the child to the Lord. There's a number of different verses in the book of Exodus and Numbers that point that the firstborn was God's, and because God had ordained that that firstborn be set apart for him. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2, "Sanctify me, God says, all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, God says, it is mine." You read a few verses in Exodus, in Numbers, God is laying this out. And so Joseph and Mary are fulfilling this. They're bringing their firstborn to dedicate him to the Lord. But the third thing as they come to the temple and for this dedication is that Mary might offer a sacrifice. Now notice the sacrifices are not for Jesus. Jesus had no sin. Jesus didn't need sacrifices for himself. But these sacrifices were for Mary. And it's interesting to note that according to the book of Leviticus chapter 12, that a woman who bore a male child was considered unclean for 33 days. So I want you to mark down in your mind, because we're going to combat this at a later time in the message, we're 41 days after Jesus had been born, and Mary and Joseph enter into the temple. It's almost 6 weeks after the birth of the child Jesus, and they come to dedicate their baby, and so Mary can offer the sacrifices that are required according to the law. But there's a second thing that we find in this story as it unfolds here, is not only Joseph and Mary come to the temple, but it's who they meet in the temple. As quickly as this man comes on the scene, he so quickly fades from the scene. It is a man that's introduced to us by the name of Simeon. It has been estimated by commentators that he was a very old man. I think 65 years old. I'm just kidding. No. I woke all of you 60-year-olds up. He went, "What? Old?" Now, it's been estimated by commentators that he probably was about 113 years old. You'd admit that's old, wouldn't you? But here it is. This man, Simeon. Now, I don't believe that he was a man that had any specific duty or any specific role in the temple. Some of the commentators have tried to equate him with somebody that had specific duties, but I don't think that's the same Simeon. I think this is a simple man who is given a task by God and fulfilled that task. And it's interesting to note about this man, Simeon, what his name means. It means one who hears and obeys. Isn't that a good name to have? One who hears and obeys. This man heard God speak to him through the prophet writings. He heard God speak to him through the Spirit of God. And that man obeyed God and went into the temple that day and was able to hold that baby Jesus and recognize that this was God's very promise. We can truly say this man, Simeon, died in peace. He anticipated the biggest moment in life, and when it happened, he could literally rest in peace. You ever waited for something for a long time? I can remember as a kid, I was thinking back through this week as a child and waiting through Christmas Eve until we could open the presents in the morning. My parents actually had a little thing that they would do. They never put the presents under the tree, so we never saw any of the presents. You know, we couldn't go over and shake them and, you know, tap on them and figure out what they were. And so when we were sent to bed, and it seemed like it was so early we got sent to bed, and we kind of put our ear up to the door, and we'd hear my mom and dad bringing their presents down, and we think, oh, I wonder if I got this. And boy, I'll tell you what, the anticipation was just huge. Can you imagine the anticipation that Simeon had for that day he could hold the Christ child? This man, Simeon, waited upon God and truly had the greatest Christmas. And he died satisfied because I believe as we look at his life, there were some things that were very evident in his life. Let's look at the brief record of this man, Simeon, and see how his life was a satisfied life. Number one, I want you to notice, according to verse number 25, Simeon was a man devoted to God. A man devoted to God. There are two words that are used to describe Simeon that I think are very important. First of all, the word just. Now, we use this word when we talked a couple of weeks ago about the man Joseph. We saw that the Bible described Joseph as a just man. Another word that is often used as a synonym in biblical terminology is the word righteous. What does it mean? It literally means a person who takes careful obligation to follow God's law and to be sure that they fulfill their obligations before their fellow man. That is, if God's law said it, a just man would follow it. If God said this is the way that you're to treat your neighbors, then a just person would treat their neighbors that way. A just person would pay their taxes properly. A just person would go ahead and fulfill their obligation to their neighbors and their family. A just person would follow the God above and the laws that he gave. And Simeon was known as a just man, but a devout man. Now, the word devout has this idea of maybe a piety to it. The Greek word behind devout expresses the cautious, scrupulous side of the religious life. It may very well describe someone who had a reverential fear of God, and it was evident to those around him. You ever known somebody in your circle, your sphere of influence, who seemed to be a very devout person? That is, they had a fear of God. Maybe it was a grandmother that you knew. Maybe it's a parent of yours. Maybe it's a friend that you knew. Maybe it's somebody in this church, and you say, that is a real devout person. That person has a fear of God, and it's evident to everybody around them. And what I find interesting about these two words is these two words describe the whole of a person. That is, a person is just because on the inside, he realizes his obligations to God, but that carries forth on the outside where others notice it. You know, it's amazing to me, we live in this way where we try to clean up the outside, but our heart is so dirty. I want to tell you something, Jesus is concerned not just about your outside, but about your inside, your heart. What is your heart like before God? Simeon was a man who was able to have the greatest of Christmases because he was a just man and a devout man before God. While others were living for themselves, Simeon was devoted to his God. And no wonder God was able to impart upon him this great opportunity. But now notice number two, according to verse number 25, Simeon was deliberate in his look. Look at this in verse 25. The Bible says he was a just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting. I bet you a lot of you have been shopping this Christmas season, have done a lot of waiting. No offense to all you winter folks that have come down, but there's been a little bit more waiting of traffic now. Thank you all. We're glad that you're here. But that's not the term of waiting that is used. We think of waiting as we're twiddling our thumbs, we're just waiting for something to go through, and we're just a little bothered. No, the word waiting here is this eager anticipation. It is like a child that cannot wait to open his presents on Christmas morning. It is like someone that is waiting for a package to come. It is like someone who is looking forward to a very special day. That is Simeon here. He is eagerly anticipating, notice here, the consolation of Israel. What do we mean by that? The word consolation has this idea of a comfort, of an encouragement. What is the comfort of Israel? What is the encouragement here that Israel could have? Well, when you look at the Old Testament and you see how Israel had been brought into bondage and had so many things happen to them, what are they waiting for? They're waiting for the Messiah. Think about it. For several hundred years, they're looking forward, they're anticipating, and Simeon is just one of those particular people in this time that is looking forward for something great to happen in Israel. Can I say to you today that while Simeon is looking forward, he's living in a tough time. No prophet had spoken for 400 years. I made mention of this last week, that in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there were a period of 400 years, no prophet had spoken. No revelation of God, no book of the Bible had been written. It had seemed as if God had gone away and God was silent. That's the time Simeon lives in. The people were under heavy rule of the Roman government. Society was at a low when it comes to morality and spiritual fervor. And yet, Simeon is a man that doesn't bemoan all the problems, but he looked ahead with hope and a desire for the future. And I'm here to tell you this ought to be a simple and a kind rebuke, if you will, to every senior saint that's out there today. Too often, older Christians have bemoaned the times that we live in, and they pine for the good old days. First of all, can I tell you that is a discouragement to the young people who are around you that are looking ahead at the future with fresh eyes. They don't know all the problems you've been through. They don't understand everything, but they have some hope for the future. And yet we got some senior saints that walk around and go, oh boy, things are just discouraging. Things are just, can I tell you something? You ought to look like Simeon ahead with anticipation of what God can do. And I'm here to remind you that God wants people that are looking ahead to not think back at all the problems and all the issues that are going on, but to look ahead and say, God, in this mess, in this time, you can bring a revival. That's what we need of Calvary Baptist Church. That's what we need of senior saints, is to be like a Simeon who has a deliberate look ahead and they're looking forward. But number three, I want you to notice this. According to verses 25 to 27, he was dependent upon the Spirit of God. It's interesting to note the mention of the Spirit of God. Three times in these three verses, it mentions the Spirit of God. And in the first two chapters of Luke, there are seven mentions directly of the Spirit of God. Boy, you can't help but read these first two chapters of Luke. Sure, we're enamored by the birth of Jesus Christ. We're stuck on the shepherds and the angels proclaiming, but the Spirit of God is moving all through this. And I want to bring something out to your attention for just a moment, and that is about the title that is used. Please understand, as you're reading this, I want you to notice here in verse number 25, it mentions at the end, Holy Ghost. Verse 26, Holy Ghost. Then verse 27, it says, and he came by the Spirit. Now people often read that and they go, well, are there two of these? Do we have a Holy Ghost and a Holy Spirit? No, can I tell you that they're one and the same? When the King James translators had translated the scriptures in 1611, it was very common at that time to either use ghost or spirit for the very Greek word pneuma. Now today, when we talk about a ghost, what do we think about? There's something eerie going on. There's a little eerie connotation. And so that's why today we use mostly the term Spirit. And I want you to notice He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a member of the Godhead. He is the one that dwells in every believer and works in their heart to show them God's Word, God's way, and God's will. So here's this man, Simeon. Simeon is dependent upon the Holy Spirit, and he's being shown the very will, the way, and the Word of God. Could I say that Simeon's direction is dependent upon the Spirit is seen in two different ways? First of all, Simeon got into the Scriptures and paid attention to the Holy Spirit's application. Look at the words at the beginning of verse 26. Notice these words. Revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. Now, question for you is this. Who wrote the Scriptures? Now, very simply, we say God, but I want you to notice, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It was the third person of the Trinity that specifically moved upon men to write the Scriptures. Now, can I say to you today, for us that are believers, who is helping me to understand the Scriptures? You say, preacher, that's why I come to church, so you can go ahead and help me understand. If you're relying on me, you're in big trouble. You know, as a born-again believer, you know what your job is? Is as you get into the Word of God, it is your opportunity to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit of God who wrote the Scriptures is the same Spirit of God who will give us the understanding of the Scriptures. Now, how many times do we sit down and read the Bible and we start reading through some certain scriptures and we go, well, I just don't understand this, and we shut our Bible and we go, well, I'll come back at it a later time. And we often do that with the Scriptures, but I'm here to remind you of something, that the Holy Spirit of God who dwells inside every believer is there to help you truly understand it. So that's why it's so imperative for every believer to be able to pray before God, Psalm 119, verse 18, where the Bible says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You know who's going to open up the Scriptures? You know who's going to reveal those things? You know who's going to illumine those things to you? The Spirit of God who lives inside of you. And so as Simeon is reading the Scriptures, guess what the Spirit of God's doing? He's revealing things to him. Well, everybody around Simeon's time frame is not paying any attention, doesn't understand the prophets, guess what Simeon is doing? Simeon is being revealed these things. Simeon is, God is illuminating these things to him and helping him to understand everything the prophets said. And what a beautiful thing to realize that everything in those prophetical writings are pointing to one person, Jesus Christ. You know what Simeon was thinking of? Simeon saying to himself, that prophet Isaiah wrote about Jesus. Jeremiah was pointing ahead to Jesus. Malachi, Haggai, Zechariah, all of these other ones are pointing forward to Jesus, and the Spirit of God revealed those things to him. But I want you to see the other dependent aspect of the Holy Spirit with regards to Simeon, and that is moving according to the Spirit's. He came by the Spirit. Notice this. He paid attention to the Spirit's leading. Look at verse 27, where the phrase in the beginning of that verse says, he came by the Spirit. Now, sometimes we read this passage of Scripture and we almost get this idea in our mind that Simeon was just kind of some kind of weirdo just hanging around the temple. You know, this guy that just, oh yeah, that's Simeon. Yeah, don't pay any attention to him. Don't give him any food or anything. Just don't pay attention to him. That wasn't Simeon. Simeon wasn't a guy that just kind of showed up every day and thought, well, is this a day? No, no. Simeon was dependent upon the Holy Spirit in what way? He was listening for that moment when the Holy Spirit would finally say to him, now, Now's the time when the child is going to be brought to the temple. Well, imagine this. Out of all days that Simeon lived, if he lived 113 years old, think about this. For all of that time, Simeon is waiting for that one day when the Spirit of God says, this is the time. And I believe Simeon was a man that knew it. You see, I believe it came about this way because he knew the exact time because he knew the Scriptures. He knew when Christ was born. He knew the ceremonial things that needed to be taken care of. And therefore, he knew that after Jesus was born, all right, let's calculate it out. So 41 days, so all of a sudden that 41st day, the Holy Spirit of God says, go. Go. He was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Can I ask you as a believer today? If you're born again, are you dependent upon the Spirit of God? Or do you just act according to your whim? Do you just follow your leading? Are you being led by the world's philosophy? Are you following everything of Hollywood and of this area in the world? Or are you truly dependent upon the Spirit of God? That was Simeon. How did Simeon get to be able to hold the baby Jesus? Because he was dependent upon the Spirit of God. But lastly, I want you to see this. He declared the Savior. Look at this in verse number 28. Then took he him up in his arms. Just stop and think about that for just a moment. Isn't that incredible? This day that Simeon's been waiting for, and all of a sudden, he finally gets to hold the Christ child. What do you think went through his mind? What do you think he thought about? I don't know. I'd have to imagine that there's some things that probably didn't even cross his mind, that this one who he's holding and maybe taking his little hands and stroking his hands, that the Bible tells us that those that are in Christ, we are graven on the palm of his hands. And yet here he is holding that Christ child. He's the one holding this Christ child and that those little hands that Jesus had as a baby. And yet the Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that those that are in Jesus Christ that are saved and born again are kept secure in the hands of Jesus. Wow. And yet he's holding that baby. Wow. It's a powerful moment. And what does he do? He does something any child of God ought to do. When you're given such an opportunity, he blesses God. He says, oh God. And he begins to give this prayer, if you will. And I love these things that he says. Notice, he saw what he had been waiting for. That is God's salvation. I love verse 30. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've heard about it. I've read about it, but now I see it. I see it. He recalled how God had prepared him for this day. Look at verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Oh, Simeon recalls reading in the fall of Genesis and God's promise to bring a deliverer. Simeon then recalls reading all the prophets and their promise of the Messiah. But now Simeon is very much aware of who this salvation is for. It is not just for the Jews, look at verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, I'm not going to do a show of hands here, but there's probably very few Jewish people here. I would say the majority of us are Gentiles. Aren't you glad Jesus came for you? Aren't you glad Jesus just isn't a Savior to the Jewish people, but he's a Savior to the whole world? And you know what the greatest Christmas is all about? And what Simeon got to realize is he got up and he declared the Savior. He said, this child is going to be the one that will bring salvation to the whole world. And my friend, I want to encourage you about something. This can be a great Christmas for you if you would determine today to declare the Savior. All those that are gathering at your house on Christmas Day, all those people that you rub shoulders with through the week, how about standing up and being able to declare that the salvation of the world is found in Jesus Christ? As I close this morning, I'm reminded of what a life Simeon lived. And yet, what an opportunity he had to hold the one in his hands who was to be the salvation of the world. The Bible recognizes in this world only two groups of people: those that are saved, those that are not. Those that are saved and those that are lost. Those that know that their name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and when this life is over, they're going to heaven. And those who either don't know it or are uncertain of whether their name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So today I close with this. I give a challenge to those who are, first of all, saved. This Christmas and this new year coming up could be the best for you if you truly prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. Now, what was Simeon preparing himself for? The coming of the Lord. But notice here, Simeon was preparing for the first coming. And Simeon, if you will, was a prophet, though he may not have been named as such. He was a prophet proclaiming the coming of the Lord, anticipating the Messiah coming. Well, guess what? We celebrate Christmas and we celebrate the baby Jesus who has come, but can I say that the whole reason for this season is not for the cradle and Bethlehem and the manger scene, though those are great things. Everything points itself to the cross. Jesus Christ came and was born to die. He died on the cross. He paid for all the sins of the world. Not one sin went unchecked. Every sin was laid upon him. He was buried. That is, he took those sins and buried them. And he rose again the third day. And he ascended to heaven after some 40 days of showing his disciples and some 500 plus people that he was alive. And now he's in heaven and he's waiting to come again. And for you out here that are saved, guess what you can be like? You can be like a Simeon that points forward to the coming of Jesus. He's coming. He's coming. It might be today. It may be soon. It may be tomorrow. But I don't know when it is, but it's coming soon. And I want to challenge you to be proclaiming, broadcasting, preaching, if you will, the coming of Jesus. But could I speak to the second group as I close this morning? I love these words about Simeon after he held the baby Jesus. And he basically said these words. Can I interpret it for you? I can die now. I'm ready to lay down. I'm ready to go. He had experienced the salvation of the world, held Jesus in his hands, and now he was ready to go. My question for you who are unsaved, do not have Jesus as your Savior, don't know that you're going to heaven, are you prepared to die? You say, preacher, really, is that an appropriate question around Christmas time? Of course it is. Of course it is. Jesus came for the sole purpose of bringing salvation to your eternal soul. This body you walk around in, it's going to go back to the dust. But the part that makes you who you are, that soul, God created that to never die. And you have the choice today to either allow that soul to go into hell, the lake of fire, forever and ever, or for that soul to be able to go to heaven because of what God's done for you. 18 years old, I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. Many of you that I've gotten to talk to through this audience have done just the same thing. You've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, and today you stand assuredly knowing the fact that when you die, you're going to heaven. Are you prepared to die? If you're not, today could be the day that all that could change for you. Let's bow our heads, please, and close our eyes.